Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1 with Justin McCarthy. How are social media companies planning to counter disinformation ahead of the local and European elections? Disinformation is the deliberate spread of falsehoods designed to influence the outcome of an election or to undermine the electoral process. 2 weeks ago, the Digital Services Commissioner with Cumasúin na mBan, John Evans, said that he wasn't overwhelmed with the quality of the plans which were being put in place by the social media companies to deal with the problem. I spoke with him earlier and asked him what his concerns were.
Back at the end of March, the European Commission published a set of guidelines. Now, the guidelines are aimed at the platforms and they're supposed to help them prepare to mitigate risks around election time, so as to help them get ready for elections. We're an active regulator, so once the guidelines were out there for about a week or so, we sent information requests really to open the conversation up with the platforms, to see how they were operationalizing their the guidelines. Mm-hmm. The responses we got back indicated, I think, that for some of them they've got a bit of work to do still. There was good variation in the breadth and depth of the responses that we got. But this is a bit of a journey. It's a short journey because we need to be ready for the European elections, but it is a bit of a journey nonetheless.
Okay. And the guidelines that were issued to the social media companies obliges them, or they're supposed to do things like label deepfake content so that users know that what they're seeing is a fake and not a real candidate. They're supposed to label political advertising and they're supposed to put in place internal teams in their own organisations to mitigate against disinformation and election interference. Are they doing that?
They are. That journey I spoke of a second ago, last week, the most recent step in that journey happened. There was a stress test carried out in Brussels. So at that were 120 people. All the digital services coordinators were represented. The European Commission was there. The platforms were all there. And there was good representation from civil society as well. So fact-checking organisations, EDMO, for example, they were there. And the purpose of that stress test was to work through a few different scenarios. Say, for example, around foreign interference in elections, the emergence of a deep fake, say referencing a politician or something, and how the platforms would deal with that. I would say there was some encouragement from that process. There's still work to do, but they're moving. You know, they're getting ready, I think.
Okay, so you have seen some improvement since you raised your concerns a fortnight ago. Are all of the social media companies responding the way you would want them to?
I think the way to think about our role in this, apart from having a coordinating role in Ireland, is to think of us as one of the 27 digital services coordinators and the European Commission, and together as a network we're working to uphold the Digital Services Act, including preparation for the elections. The European Commission just earlier this week has opened up an investigation against Meta. And part of that concerns their readiness for the European elections. So you can see there are levels of supervision here, right the way up to enforcement.
And when it comes to enforcement, then what powers are there to ensure that the social media companies step up to the mark and don't allow the spread of disinformation and misinformation on their platforms?
Sure. Large part of the Digital Services Act is this requirement that platforms carry out risk assessments, and based on those risk assessments, they are supposed to mitigate those risks. Now, those risk assessments can refer to, you know, issues around public health, proliferation of illegal content online, but importantly, electoral integrity, democracy, and civic discourse. Okay, so what the guidelines do is that they give recommendations to the platforms about what kind of mitigation measures they could be putting in place to prepare for those risks. After the elections, there will be an analysis of how everybody got on. And I think at that point, there'll be an assessment of, well, who's implemented what? And if it looks like it hasn't been a good improvement, then there can be consequences in terms of investigation. Those consequences are opening of investigations, which is kind of very resource draining, and then fines of up to 10% of turnover.
Okay. Now, you're also producing information for candidates running in the local and European elections, guidance on what they can do if, for example, they've been impersonated online or their image has been used to spread false information, they've been subject to a deep fake or something like that. What are you saying to them?
So in these packs, which we were going to circulate to everybody putting themselves forward for election, there's going to be an explanation of what the role of the commission the man is, how the Digital Services Act works, what kind of rights they have if they encounter this kind of information online. The Digital Services Act puts the first onus of responsibility on the platforms to monitor, or not a general monitor, but to mitigate the risks associated with disinformation and misinformation. But there's a mechanism for people to flag content, and there are fast lanes for politicians that many of the platforms have set up. We are going to draw the politicians' attention to those mechanisms.
Okay, so if a politician is unhappy with something that appears online, perhaps it's they're impersonated or there's a deep fake of them, they first go to the platform where it appears, make a complaint to them, and if they're not satisfied, then you're saying that you will fast track their complaint and deal with it as fast as possible.
Actually, the platforms themselves have fast tracks, provided they know right. How to get onto it. But if they come to us, we will direct them towards those fast tracks and make sure it happens quickly.
Okay. And what if candidates then receive threats online? How do you deal with that?
I say this a lot. We're not a blue light service. So if there's threats of that, of a very serious nature, at the first place to go is in Garda Síochána Síochána. But also you can come to us and we'll help you with the platforms. But where there's a serious threat to life, harm to people or property, go to a Garda Síochána.
And that should be their first port of call. Rather than even going to the social media companies first, they should go to the guards first. Is that right?
Doing both at the same time should be quickly, but I would say go to the guards first.
Okay. Now, last month, Cumasúin na mBan opened a contact centre dealing with complaints about social media companies from members of the public. How many complaints or contacts have you received so far since you opened that last month?
Yeah, so we opened the contact centre to coincide with us getting powers under the Digital Services Act, which was February 17th. So that was good. But actually, the contact centre serves the whole organisation. So we've got about between 600 and 700 contacts. Just kind of a 40-40-20 split between broadcasting issues, digital services issues and other issues.
In relation then to the social media companies, are there any trends emerging? Are there complaints? Is there a pattern of complaints which is telling you anything about what people are generally unhappy with?
One issue is that people sometimes just don't know what to do. They don't know this is a Digital Services Act issue. So we help them decide what they're going to do. So if that's pushing them in the direction of the platforms, we do that. But on more substantive issues, the numbers are small at the moment, but still we're seeing scams, online scams, as something that's coming through, people's accounts being hijacked. Issues arising because the complaints mechanisms that the platforms have put in place are not clear and easy to use.
Right. And in terms then of the volume of complaints that you're receiving, you're saying 600 to 700 complaints in around 2 months. Do you have the resources to be able to deal with that level of contact? I mean, if that continues, you're talking about getting 300 complaints a month, really.
There was a little bit of a surge at the beginning. It's eased out. I would say it's started to incline gradually up around 200 a month, I would say, is probably where we are at the moment.
And can you cope with that?
We can cope with that because we have the outsourced contact centre to help us with that initial triaging of issues. So if I could just go back to the numbers there, the 40% that are digital services issues, we boil that down to about 10% that turned into, actually, this is a viable complaint. We need to do some preliminary analysis of this. So we do, and once we do that, that's then taken inside the organisation. So, you know, we do need to size it right. A factor that is complicating it, though, is because we have this position in Europe where a lot of the platforms are based here. So that means that the digital services coordinators in the other member states are channeling complaints to us as well.
And are you getting many complaints from outside of Ireland then via that channel?
So that 10% I said that boiled down, that's 20 plus substantive issues that we're looking at. About the same number again are coming from other member states.
Okay. Can I ask you about the broadcast moratorium then? That's the moratorium in place which prevents broadcasters like RTE, independent radio and television, from reporting on elections from 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. the day before the polls open. I know that it is going to be reviewed after the local and European elections. Do you accept that in an era of social media where disinformation can spread online, that the moratorium is no longer fit for purpose, that broadcasters need to be able to correct misinformation and disinformation that appears online so that voters can go to the polls knowing the full facts?
Yeah, so just this week we published guidelines on broadcasting and they apply from 7th of May until the 7th of June when polls close. What they stress is the importance of broadcasters showing fairness and objectivity, impartiality, coverage of the elections. This question about no coverage of elections in the 24 hours previous, there are mixed views on that, and the analysis that we've looked at so far doesn't give a clear direction on get rid of it or don't get rid of it or come up with some other kind of a solution altogether. We need to make the right decision on this. We're not going to have it ready for the June elections. We'll be doing this in the autumn.
Do you see the merits, though? Do you see a potential for a problem if the moratorium remains in place where disinformation can spread online and broadcasters can do nothing to correct it?
It's an information ecosystem. I do see the potential, yes, for issues, but that's what we're trying to balance.
And some public representatives, I know, have suggested that the moratorium should be extended to cover social media companies. Is that something that you are looking at as a possibility, or is that viable?
We're looking around at what other countries have done in this, and some countries have done precisely that. Some countries have gone the other way and pulled back. We need to do our analysis and figure out what's right for Ireland.
That was the Digital Services Commissioner with Cumasúin na mBan, John Evans, speaking to me earlier.